From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Luis Hernandez. Today is the first day of hurricane season, and for the next several days, we'll be bringing you stories to make sure you're prepared. But if you were living in South Florida back in August of 1992, then you'll remember that fateful night when Hurricane Andrew arrived. And you'll also remember the voice of meteorologist Brian Norcross, the voice that got you and me through that horrible storm. This year is the 25th anniversary of Hurricane Andrew. Brian Norcross has a new book out, My Hurricane Andrew Story, the story behind the preparation, the terror, the resilience, and the renowned TV coverage of the great hurricane of 1992. And he's joining me now in studio. Brian Norcross, such a pleasure. Thank you.
Such a pleasure to be here, Lewis. Thank you.
What's the first memory that comes back for you when people talk about Hurricane Andrew?
My strongest memory is that Wednesday after the storm, when I really didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I didn't know if South Dade could recover. It had spiraled into such despair. And is this going to be unrecoverable? Because you had people that hadn't slept in days, people with their guns, with the looters. It was complete anarchy. And nobody seemed to be able to take control.
For those who were living here, and I was one of them, and I was living here in Doral, one of the things that really that I remember most, and when I talked to my mom and my brother who were huddled in a bathroom, you know, on the bottom floor of our condo, listening to you, is the fact that we could hear you. And your voice, just the fact that you were there, was just a reminder, I think, to us that okay, the world is still outside. It's still there. Do you ever think about the fact that your voice, just you being on air all that time, it probably kept us sane? It might have saved lives.
I've certainly heard that many times over the years. And the fact that we were there and able to continue broadcasting really was a tribute to the management at WTVJ at that time that had bought into the idea of doing all this hurricane preparation, including we had put in a dedicated line from the studio, the WTVJ studio in downtown Miami, the television studio, to the Y-100 transmitter on the Dade-Broward line because the Y-100 studio was in Fort Lauderdale at Sunrise Boulevard and the Intracoastal. And I thought, wow, if there was ever a big hurricane here, they'd have to evacuate this. We better put the line in directly to the transmitter.
Have you ever been through before, Andrew? Do you ever been through any natural disaster close to that?
I went through a couple of hurricanes in the 60s up in the Melbourne area where I was living as a teenager. And when I lived in New Jersey, I went through a couple of really bad, devastating storms, but always on the fringe. And then later, my father took me to the Jersey Shore where there was a lot of damage. But really, what prepared me for Andrew was that when I came to Miami in 1983 and through the 80s, I spent a lot of time at the history museums working on feature stories on the history of South Florida.
How did the city, how did this area, even the state change after that storm?
First of all, it collapsed the insurance system in Miami-Dade County, and Bill Nelson, who's Senator Bill Nelson now, was insurance commissioner at the time, and he could see that that was just the tip of the iceberg, that the problems that Andrew caused in Dade were going to spread to the state, as they indeed they did, and we needed some sort of new paradigm to deal with insurance. So that's an example of the big changes. Insurance before Andrew and through Andrew, which is a completely different kind of thing than it is today. So that's part of it. Also, the building codes. The pre-Andrew building code was really quite good. But there were two issues. The biggest issue was that it was not being enforced in the years before Andrew. So many homes built in the 80s and into the early 90s were not built according to code because it was not a prescribed system for how the code would be enforced.
I think about your book and, you know, it could be a great history lesson, but as you know, I mean, that was 25 years ago. We have had some bad years of storms, but really the last 10 years, it's been relatively quiet. Last year, Matthew just skimmed across the coastline. What is your biggest concern And what do you hope people will get from the book? Not just a history lesson, but the reality that, as you said a moment ago, this is an area prone to be hit by hurricanes.
I hope that people realize that storms can be worse than you can imagine. If they have a home built to modern standards, and the good news is that the buildings that are built here now are built like battleships. So any building that's out of the evacuation zone, because you don't want people trapped somewhere where there's rising water, but all these homes that have been built to these modern standards with modern shutters are safe buildings to ride out the storm in. Now, you don't want to go standing next to the window looking out and watching the wind blow. You want to use common sense. Now, the biggest concern is, and it was a concern then, it didn't happen with Andrew because we didn't have the big storm surge affecting Miami Beach, downtown Miami, and the populated part of North Dade and Broward County and all these people that live relatively near the water. But the biggest concern is people, it's a two-part concern. One is people that stay near the water, but perhaps the biggest unrecognized threat is people getting stranded. Because if you think about people that stay in high-rise buildings, and those buildings will stand, and people will be safe, but once the storm is over, the roads will be covered in sand. In 1926, there was about a 3 feet deep sand in Miami Beach. So no ambulances, no police, cars left outside will be ruined, probably no power, no water, and likely no communications. So you'll have people stuck in buildings and neighborhoods really literally on their own. And if they don't have a transistor radio, they won't even know what's going on outside, right? And how few people have transistor radios today?
But again, you have a lot of people living here in South Florida who've never been through a storm. And, you know, after last year, there's always that fear that, all this preparation for nothing, false alarm. When you run into that kind of stubbornness, how do you break through it?
If you don't have some level of preparation for, you know, Mother Nature's greatest storm, then it's foolish. It's just foolish, and it's dangerous.